Well, hey, man, ain't it good to be saved tonight? Oh, I'm glad we can have a good time. Brother Simpson said he liked Shelton Smith and Sammy Allen. I like Joel Osteen. He's my brother. Just kidding, you know? Oh, my. Okay, you ready? I'll tell you who my hero is. Yes, I like Bob Underwood. Leatherwood. I want to see if he'd notice that. And boy, that was a great message, wasn't it?
Amen.
That's like going to Bible college. A lot of doctrine. And Bob, I'll tell you, that's missing. And a lot of independent Baptist circles. I've heard some stuff ain't even close to Bible. I was in a meeting the other day, and what's so bad about it, I was moderating it. But I, out of 12 messages I heard, I think two of them probably were associated with the text. The other one hadn't have even seen the text. And I tell you, I appreciate Bible preaching.
Amen.
And I appreciate that dear man who preached the Word of God. And I've enjoyed being here. I always enjoy coming to the spiritual oasis, and it's always a blessing. I love your pastor. I think he's just a swell fellow. I mean, he is a good-looking old man. I'm just telling you that. I'm going to tell you what, I hope I look that good when I'm 90. I'll tell you that right now. But we do love Pastor Enos. I thank God for him. I have a friend of mine that lives down the road here that knew you all your life. And he said, Charles Enos is for real.
Amen.
I tell you, isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And I thank God for the opportunity. Good to see the preachers here tonight. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3. I made a statement last night that I wanted to preach out of Acts 1, 3, the first part. And a dear lady come up to me a while ago. She said, I want to hear the rest of the story. I said, my name ain't Paul Harvey, but I'd be glad to tell you. Amen. But we emphasized the first part of that verse last night. And I want to come back tonight and emphasize the last part. At the end of the service, we'll be out front and have a little table out there. And our first hardback book is out. Been out for 3 weeks. And we'd love for you to stop and get one. Last October, my wife and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. I celebrated my 25th year as pastor of our church. And then I celebrated my 30th year in the ministry. And so we had a big time last year. And we put a book out in commemorative of that. And 25 messages in there. And a short biography of our church. And just a good book. So we've got one out there. And love for you to get one. And like I said, if you don't like my preaching and you don't like me, give me $20. I got to pay for it. Amen. And but we'll be available to you at the end of the service. And if you get loose this summer, we'd love for you to come down to Greer, South Carolina. We have the Greer Baptist Camp Meeting. It's the oldest Baptist Camp Meeting that's still in existence. This will be our 64th consecutive year.
Amen.
You say that ain't no big deal for Baptists to get along for 64 years. Of course, we've split 9 times, but we're still there. And Mays Jackson, Dr. Seitler, and a couple of lay preachers way back 64 years ago started that meeting. And in the 1964, a young evangelist from Tennessee came and started leading the singing named Billy Kelly. And in 1976, they turned the meeting over to him completely. And he was the moderator. In 1981, I went and joined him as the assistant moderator. And then in 1997, on April Fool's Day, Brother Billy checked out. And we've been trying to keep that meeting going. And we have it the last week in June and the first week of July. And we've got good Bible preachers lined up for the meeting. Dr. James Jones from Harriman, Tennessee. Brother Andy Wells from over in Monroe, North Carolina. Brother Tony Hudson, friend, from up there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Absolutely. Likes that red book. Are you listening? And then on Friday night, Brother Larry Brown from over in Augusta, South Carolina. Then the second week, we've got Dr. Smith on Monday night. And then, in my opinion, the greatest camp meeting preacher on planet Earth, Brother Brian McBride from Bean Blossom, Indiana. And you don't know how bad that hurts me to say there's a saved Yankee, but excuse me, brother, I didn't know you're from Delaware. God bless you. And he'll be preaching all that week. And the area churches come out with the choirs. We have good conservative music. And I tell people our camp meeting is non-charismatic, non-Calvinistic, and non-contemporary. Amen? Amen? And we have a blast. We have a good time. And it's located right next to Greenville, a little town called Greer. We have camping spaces. We have motels in the area. And every year on the 4th of July, we have a barbecue and a lemonade and a singing and a preaching all day long. And this year, the 4th is on Sunday. And so we're going to move it over to Monday. We don't do anything to conflict with the local churches in our area. So we're going to do it on the 5th. Not with the 5th. Don't you read into that. You've got your bunch of blue devils. You're carnal as you can be anyway. Win some old basketball game and think everything's going to be all right. You just wait the next year. Them Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets going to sting every one of you, amen? I felt God on that, didn't you say amen? But we're going to have it on the 5th. We'll have it all day. And if you've never been to an old-fashioned outdoor camp meeting, it's a great experience. I like what David Gibbs said about camp meeting. He said, camp meeting is American history. Before there was ever a mega church, before there was ever a large church, God's people were gathering by the hundreds and even thousands in Little Brush Harbor's camp meetings all across this country. And so, man, come on, be with us. We have a tabernacle that'll seat about 1,000. And we've got sawdust on the floor. And no doors, no windows, no air conditioning. And mosquitoes, glory to God, big enough to saddle up and ride to town and back. Well, most of us could use a sweat bath anyhow, amen? And so think about it. Come be with us, and we'd love to have you. And it's good to be in the house of God. Can you imagine if God hadn't saved us? We'd probably already be in hell. But I'm glad when justice called, mercy answered. Though I've been there 10,000 years, I will be there because of love. For when justice called, mercy answered. I don't stand before you tonight because I'm a great person. I don't stand before you tonight because I've kept the law. I don't stand before you tonight that I had a great mom and a great dad. I stand before you tonight because one day God saved me. And for Jesus' sake, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Praise God, I'm feeling right religious. Amen. God is good. Amen. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That's the part of the verse that we emphasized last night. When Jesus got up from the grave, that was a great earthquake. And after a great earthquake, you always have the aftershock. And this world is still feeling the aftershock of Jesus being made alive. And we dealt last night with that phrase, by many infallible proofs. I want us to deal with the last part of the verse tonight. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, and underline this statement, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I want to emphasize that phrase in verse 3, being seen of them 40 days. Now, I believe you'll agree with me that when Jesus died upon the cross and he was buried and he arose again, he had finished what God, his Father, had sent him to do. I'm glad that Jesus finished the work of salvation. You can add or take away from what Christ has done. I rest my soul, my life, my eternal destiny at the foot of the cross. Jesus finished what his Father had told him to do. And as far as Jesus finishing his work, he could have ascended and went back to heaven the very day that he arose from the grave. As far as his relationship to the satisfactory plan of God, Jesus could have went back to heaven the very day he arose from the grave. But yet the Bible said he stayed for 40 days. Why did Jesus stay 40 days after he arose from the grave? Well, notice the importance of the number 40 in the Bible. Your King James Bible didn't say he stayed 10 days, 20 days, or 30 days. But it says he stayed for 40 days. I believe if you'll search the number 40 throughout the Bible, it is always associated with tribulation, trials, and testing. And brother, the Christian life is going to be filled with tribulation, trial, and testing. But I'm glad we can make it through the tribulations, trials, and testings, because we serve a Savior that is alive. Amen. How many days did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. How many years did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? 40. How many days did Jesus fast in the wilderness of temptation? 40. And so Jesus stayed behind for 40 days. To teach you and I that he is not only enough to save us from our sin and eradicate our past and liberate our soul, but in the midst of our trial and trouble and tribulation, Jesus is still enough. Amen. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Notice the text plainly says, being seen of them 40 days. I believe Jesus stayed behind because he is the great shepherd. And he is a personal shepherd. And because he is a great personal shepherd, he gives a personal care and a personal touch. You see, as far as God is concerned, he could have went back that very day. But he had some people that had been scattered through the aftermath of Calvary that he needed to show himself to and bring them together. He was not going back to heaven and leave his scattered sheep without them knowing that he is alive forevermore. There are three particular of his little sheep that I believe Jesus stayed behind to personally minister to remind them that he was their great high priest in the midst of their trial, trouble, and tribulation. Mark chapter 16 and verse 7 through verse 10. Mary went down to the tomb and found that the stone was rolled away. And there was this person sitting there, clothed in white. And he began a conversation with Mary, and it went something like this. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Thy Lord is not here. He is risen. And then he made this statement. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. You say, why did he specifically say, go tell Peter? Well, Peter was a scattered disciple. He is the one that by the fire, not once, not twice, but three times, openly, publicly, verbally, denied the Lord. And the last time Jesus looked upon Peter, the Bible said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He cried the futile tears of failure. And I imagine tonight that Simon Peter spent three lonely, dark, miserable days. For he had denied and disappointed his very Savior. And don't you know, if the devil back then was like he is now, no doubt he had a lot of diabolical, nasty things to say to Simon Peter. Probably something like this: you're finished. You're done. You fumbled the ball. You will never be fit to serve God again. But when Mary went to that upper room and said, boys, I've just come back from the grave, and I need to tell you, Jesus is alive. And I've come to tell you, and hey, especially you, Simon Peter, he's standing over yonder by resurrection ground calling out your name. He said for me to come and tell everybody, but especially Peter. He's alive, Peter. And he's headed this way. And you're going to see him in a little while. I wasn't there that day, and I do not know the reaction of Simon Peter. But if I'd have been Simon Peter, my reaction would have been like this. Oh, man, that's great. I thought we were finished. I thought we were through. I thought he had written me off. I thought he had never loved me again. Oh, I found out that failure is not final with the Father. I tell you why he stayed around 40 days. He wanted to let Simon Peter know he forgives sin. He's the God of second chance. And though we fail the Lord, he's never failed us. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm in this room tonight and I have failed the Lord. I fumbled the ball. I flubbed the dub. And all day long the devil said, I'm done and God's finished. Well, the devil is a liar and the daddy rabbit of all liars. There is a living Savior standing in the shadows of an empty tomb, and he's got you on his mind, and he's got you in his heart. And he told Brother Jawatha to come by the FCW World Championship Wrestling and to tell you it's not over. God's not finished. He still loves you. He still cares about you. He still has a plan for your life. Failure is not final. You say, did Jesus restore Simon Peter? I reckon he did. You say, well, did he have much of a ministry after he fumbled the ball? He never had a ministry before. You say, well, how did his ministry go? Something like this. On the day of Pentecost, Brother Bob, they're gathered from the four corners of the earth for a big religious service. I can hear the buzz in the air. I wonder who will bring the message. I wonder who will be the keynote speaker. Can I run a rabbit? I get so tired of being called a speaker. That's a speaker. I'm a preacher. Somebody said, who's the keynote speaker? Let me tell you who the keynote speaker is going to be in any meeting. The man the Holy Ghost falls on, he'll be the keynote speaker. Boy, I hear the buzz in the air. Who will conduct the Vespers? Who will lead us in religious matters? Who is going to be the preacher for Pentecost Sunday morning showdown? And about that time, that old tall, brawny, weather-beaten fisherman stands up, and I hear Sister Wigglejaw and Brother Know-It-All over here at the association will tell it all. Look at one another and go, ooh, yuck, not him. No way, Jose. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him preach. Why, bless God, if he's a preacher, the woods is full of them. Just the other day by a fire, I heard that very man stand up and pitch a fit and three times deny that he even knew the Lord. But I let them flap their jaws and run their mouth. Oh, Simon Peter stands in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he walks to the podium and says, ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach to you today about a man. He was among you, approved of God by signs and wonders and miracles. You took your wicked hands and you slew him and hanged him on a tree. But God, his Father, loosed him from the pains of death and raised him on high. He preached Jesus, and the preaching went forth, and the power came down, and the sinners came forward. And when he gave the invitation, thousands got saved by the grace of God. Preach next Sunday, and another couple of more thousand got in. And by the time you get to chapter 12, the early church in Jerusalem has 12,000 members. I'd say God forgave him. I'd say God used him. I'd say, by God, there's life on the other side of failure, because we got a Savior. And because he's personal, he gives the personal touch. Failure is not final. Every preacher gets to run a rabbit. Here's mine. Why do we emphasize certain parts of the Bible and de-emphasize other parts of the Bible? I feel like the Bible, like this preacher feels about it, is Christ. You got to take it all. Boy, we will emphasize, and we have in our ministry, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The ministry of evangelism. And we do emphasize it. And I believe in it. And I still believe in it. But the church has another ministry given by the same Lord, same Holy Ghost, and same Bible. And it's the ministry of restoration. Ye which are spiritual. That's the problem. Ain't most of us spiritual? Ye which are spiritual, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That may be why we don't do it, because most of us ain't meek nor spiritual. But you restore that one in the spirit of meekness. And here's the basis: considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know that verse is saying? God wants us to reach the unreached. God wants us to go to all the world and tell every man about Jesus. But the same God and the same Bible and the same Holy Spirit tells the body of Christ, let's restore those that have fallen. Let's rescue those that have fallen by the way. I'll tell you, the church may not forgive you, and the brethren may not forgive you, and the enemies may not forgive you, but I'm glad the Lord will. I'm glad God will. He's faithful. us from all unrighteousness. Hello? Well, I ain't going to go hear no preacher that ain't perfect. You better leave now. In fact, you should have stayed at home, because none of us are above messing up, denying the Lord, fumbling out of the way. And I'm not talking about qualifications to pastor churches. I hope you know better than that. And I'm not talking about a reproach that's you know what I'm talking about. I'm here to tell you, failure don't have to be final. I'll tell you why the Lord stayed around them 40 days. He had a backslidden disciple named Simon Peter. And Jesus wasn't going to go back to heaven and leave him backslidden. He wanted to restore Simon Peter before he went back to glory. And aren't you glad the psalmist said, in the valley he restoreth my soul. I'm glad because he lives, there's hope, there's light, there's a second chance on the other side of failure, praise God. Stayed behind 40 days to minister to Peter, who was backslidden. Number two, over in John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16, there's another disciple, another follower of Jesus, and her name is Mary. And she's not backslidden like Simon Peter, and she's broken. John chapter 20, she comes to the tomb, and the Bible said she's weeping. You say, why is she weeping? Because the stone is rolled away. And the Lord is not there. And listen to this. She's having a little problem. She can't find where the Lord is in her life. And may I say, brother, there'll be times in all of our Christian lives when we won't be able to find and figure out what God's doing in our life. Let me run around. Don't you just love these people that know everything about your life and don't know about their own? They know all about their trouble. They know all about their problems. They can tell you why you got cancer. They can tell you why you got sick. They can tell you why your kids went bad. And I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to say this to some mother and some father. You are responsible for your child's raising. But you are not responsible for their personal choices. You are responsible for their raising. You are responsible to give them the foundation on which to build their life. But you are not responsible for the choices and what they do with the foundation you gave them. Just like our brother so wonderfully brought out, that kinsman redeemer paid the debt for that whole family. But only those who chose it and claim it and made the right choice got to enjoy it. And I'm here to tell you, your child can turn away from God. They turned their back on God. Everybody in this room can die without God and go to hell if you choose to. And there'll be times you don't know what God's doing in your life. And there's Mary standing by that tomb. She's weeping. She's crying. Boy, just let me say this, aren't you glad that tears are language and God understands? Every Monday morning near about, I go to the airport there in Atlanta and fly out to a meeting. And I spend a lot of time in the airport. And last couple of years, I've seen a lot of the soldiers coming and going. Man, I've stood there and watched Mama cry and Daddy cry and Papa cry. Bless God, I go to cry and I don't even know who they are. Because tears touch people. And they touch God as well. I was in Michigan the other day trying to get that one Yankee I know saved again. And I was in the airport. And a soldier came in. And man, people got to screaming and hollering and yelling. And I didn't even know the boy, but I got so blessed. I got to screaming and hollering and yelling too. Man, people got to hugging one another. And before I knowed it, some woman come over and hug me. You say, what'd you do? Lord of God, I hugged her back. Amen. She was 90 years old, dude. It was okay. Boy, Mary's over there, brother, at that Bob at that tomb. She's weeping, she's crying, she's broken. She can't find God. She don't know where the Lord is. She don't understand what's going on in her life. I'm telling you, you live on this earth long enough, you're going to get broken, buddy. Your world's going to get turned upside down. God's going to crush your heart, and tears are out of your eyes, and you won't know where God is. I want to tell you, brother, amen. I got one on my outline. Run right here. Run right here. He's closer than you think. When you can't feel God, he's there. When you can't sense God, he's there. When you can't touch God, he's there. Standing somewhere in the shadows of a weeping place, you'll find the resurrected Christ. Woo! She's standing there weeping, brokenhearted, confused. And she engages in a conversation with a man who just eases up there on the sand. Have you ever had God to ease up on you? I mean, sometimes he moves like a mighty rushing wind. Sometimes it's a ball of fire and an earthquake. Oh, but sometimes he just kind of. You might bump into him most any place. Listen to me. I've encountered the overshadowing sweet presence of God in some of the most unusual places. Boy, I've been in churches in the power of God fall. I've been in them old time camp meetings, son. Mage Jackson said he gets so thick you have to get a CNI dog to get to the house. I've been in Baptist meetings that acted like holiness meetings. I was in a meeting in your church one night, and the power of God fell. And there was a little old black lady there from up in Maryland. She shouted in the church. She shouted in the parking lot. She shouted at the fellowship hall. I got back to the motel. She's shouting in the parking lot of the motel, shouting up and down the aisles of the motel. We ain't never been to that motel again. I mean, I've been around God a few times, boys. I've seen my daddy preaching the power of God. I've seen Mays Jackson preaching the power of God. I've been to church when God would move. I don't need something, brother. I've been in some hospital rooms where there wasn't any preaching and there wasn't any singing, and God was there. I've been down to the funeral home picking out caskets for my daddy, and the choir wasn't there and the preacher wasn't there, but I bumped into God. I just want to tell you, he's not abandoned you. He's not forsaken you. He's not deserted you. I want to tell you, he's standing by the empty tomb. He's there. He's there. He's never far away. Amen. He just kind of walks up. And she starts talking to him. And she thinks it's the gardener. Come to find out, it was the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. Woo! She said, sir, they've taken my Lord away. And she said, if you know where they've taken him, you just tell me, and I'll go get him myself. And here's why he stayed for 40 days. Let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't give her a 3-hour lecture on the doctrine of resurrection. He didn't even give her an alliterated outline, 3 points and a poem. And he didn't say, quit crying. Crying's for sissies. Any man in this building that'll tell your little boy when he's crying, suck it up, be a man, big boys don't cry, you're stupid. You're bad. You're going to raise a monster. You'll raise a boy that won't respect his mother, his family, his wife. You'll raise some old redneck that can't say I'm sorry and forgive me. And I'm telling you, big boy, if you're so big, you can't say, I'm sorry and forgive me. You're too big. Will you say, big boys, don't cry? What about my friend, the giant killer, David? What about the great apostle Paul, the great preacher? And what about Jesus Christ, the epitome of a man? He wept at the grave of Lazarus. And oh, she says, if you know where he is, just tell me, and I'll go get him myself. He doesn't give her a lecture. He doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't scold her. He just says, Mary, son. That's all he did. Mary. Mary. Oh, God. When she, amen. Hallelujah. When he said, Mary. Oh, the light went on. She said, Master. Master, it's you. All he did was speak her name. You say, preacher, I'm confused. I'm broken. I've cried some tears. I can't find God in my affliction, preacher. What am I going to do? Just stand by the empty tomb and listen real close. He'll call your name. He'll dry your tear. He'll say, it is I. Be not afraid. Mary, that's all he did. He just called her by name. And she said, Master, son, I believe she tore out of that tomb. I believe she threw gravel and flowers and rocks. Son, she double clutched it. She ran back to the city. She ran up that outside staircase. Boy, the disciples were in the upper room. And your King James Bible, in which you need to keep, says, for fear of the Jew. They were afraid. And they were behind closed doors because they were afraid. And about that time, and I can see them bunch of wimps say, who is it? Who is it? And on the outside, I can see, it's me. It's Mary. Open the door. If she'd have been from the South, she'd have said, I've got something to tell y'all. She'd have been from Tennessee, she'd have said, I have something to tell you. And says, and if she'd have been, where's my Delaware buddy? Where you at? She'd have said, I have something to tell you guys. I go up north to preach and they say, wow, Brother Arthur, awesome message tonight. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. It really got on. I go to Alabama and they go, hey, man, we got a time tonight. Lord, I got it. Woo! I believe Mary said, open that door. They let Mary in that room. She's glowing. She said, boys, guess what? He ain't dead. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Peter, you ain't gonna believe it. John, you ain't gonna believe it. Bless God, Thomas, I know you ain't gonna believe it. Believe what, Mary? He's alive, boys. He's alive. Now, knowing men like I know men. Notice I didn't say knowing women like I know women. Ain't no man knows women. The one you married to or anybody else, praise God. Brother Smith, I call my wife 3 or 4 times a day. You said that's expensive. I don't know, but that's cheaper than paying alimony. Bless God, Bob, I'd work like a dog to pay for that house, and some of the lurch ain't going to live in it if I got anything to do with it. And I told her that joke about her kin people. She didn't think it was as funny as you thought it was. And I told him what about that fat woman, and she hung up on me. If I lose my meetings because I'm divorced, you're going to have to take me to raise. But if I know men like I know men, reacting with women like I've seen, they'd have said something like this. Oh, Mary, you lied. You've lost your mind. We know how hysterical you women get. You overemphasize your bunch of emotional basket cases. Most women are a nervous breakdown looking for a place to happen. Hello? You give them candy one day and they like it. Give them to them the next day and they throw it at you. And you go in the house and they're throwing pots and pans and slamming up phones And you'll say, what's wrong? Nothing. Oh, come on. Nothing. Not one thing. But you better quit asking me what's wrong, or something will be wrong, buddy. Let me tell you something, fella. The best thing you can do is shut up and get on the rooftop. And boy, I hear him saying, Mary, we know how you women are. You're hysterical. You overreact. Well, you're just dreaming. You've seen a ghost. Mary, you're just out there, girl. You ain't took your... And... I better not go there. We're going to get in trouble. Mary, you're just nervous. How do you know? How do you know? And in my mind, I can't believe it. This was her answer. Boys, I know. I know. I know. Well, how do you know? I know. I just know. How do you know? I heard him when he called my name. Honey, her daddy had called her Mary. Her mama had called her Mary. Her brothers and sisters had called her Mary. Her friends had called her Mary. But ain't nobody ever said Mary like he said Mary. He said, I don't believe he's that personal. Oh, yes, he is. I remember when he came to my place and called my name. And then he whispers, sweet peace to my soul. Whoa! He knows my name. He knows where I'm at. That's why he stayed 40 days. The minister to Simon, who was backslidden. Minister to Mary, who was broken. And then lastly, John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29. You've got Thomas, who was bewildered. Brother Bob, Jesus was not going back to heaven and leave Simon Peter wandering the rest of his life. Does he still love me? He was not going back to heaven and leave Mary wondering, where is God? And all of this. And he was not going back to heaven, leaving behind old doubting Thomas.
That's right.
You know what Thomas's problem was? He wasn't at church on Sunday night.
Amen.
Must not don't blow up at me. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching it. John 20, in the evening, Jesus came and stood in the midst. But Thomas was not there. But I'm glad Jesus, 8 days later, the number of new beginning, gave him a second chance. So if you went to church Sunday night, come in Sunday night, God may give you a second chance. I said that last Sunday, and we got less last Sunday night we ever had. That didn't work. But Thomas met them disciples, and they said, Thomas, Jesus is alive. He came to church today. He was in our midst. Thomas said, no, I don't believe it. In fact, of the matter, I'll never believe it until I see the print and touch. I'll never believe it, but I can see it and touch it myself. You say, preacher, I ain't never doubted God. Well, I tell you what you do. You just take your little nap, and the rest of us is going to enjoy this. You've never doubted God's promise? You've never doubted God's provision? The last time I was in this church, 2006, so let's see, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 4 years. So this is 2010, so I'll see y'all 2014. That's bad when you go to a place and they get enough lasting for 4 years. Whoever said whatever you did, be quiet. I'm trying to preach now. But right here in this meeting, I shared it with your preacher. I was so disturbed. I'd been at our church 20 years. We had this little cracker box building and a little piece of land. We'd fill it up. No room. People would quit coming. And I'm just telling you, if they can't park and sit, they ain't staying.
That's right.
But I had a problem. I was broke. You said, that's not proper. When you as poor as I am, broke's proper. Yeah. I went to talk to bankers and builders, and everybody said the same thing. Preacher, you need about $3 million. You need a minimum of $3 million. And I don't know what $3 million is to you, but $3 million to me makes me do like that guy on TV. Elizabeth, this is the big one. Yeah. We were running about 250 then. Offerings. I mean, we didn't even have enough money to go bar. We didn't have enough capital. Guy said, what kind of capital you got? I said, we got one in Georgia and one in Raleigh. And I was so discouraged. Bob, I've cried on your shoulder at many camp meetings. Bob, should I leave? You know, the churches, what should I do? But the cloud never moved, and so I just had to stay. Amen. And in this meeting, I got a phone call. And I told your preacher, I said, I think God's opened the door. Well, wait just a minute. It shut. It shut as soon as I got home. And boy, that did tie my nerves up. And I'm going to admit this, and this hurts my pride to do this. Somebody needs this tonight. If I embarrass myself to help you, it's worth it. I remember getting on my knees and praying, saying, God, my name is Joe Arthur. Do you know me still? Have you forgot me? God, you've answered my... God, you did it for Brother So-and-so. You did it for him. And God, I had one of my friends, one old kook died in the neighborhood and left him $1 million. I don't know no kooks that rich. I know some kooks, but they all dumb and broke. I remember praying, God, you forgot me. My name's Joe. I've not been out here building some kind of religious kingdom. God, I've been sleeping in strange beds, eating strange food. I stayed away from my wife and family. God, trying to help my body. And I just got, come on, don't you look at me like that. I know there's people here that said stuff like that because there's women here, and all of y'all do that. And so do us men. We're the biggest bunch of whiners. Son, it's a good thing God worked it out for a woman to have a baby, because bless God, if a man ever had one, there wouldn't have been but one kid born. I felt a snag right there, but I'm going to blow it out. I got to doubting I was in the will of God. I even doubted my call to preach. Devil said, well, if you was any kind of a preacher, God didn't call you to preacher, you wouldn't be in this mess. You said, I ain't never heard nothing like that. Well, hallelujah. Pray for most of the rest of us out here. Boy, I've been like Thomas. He said, I ain't going to believe it. I just can't believe it. We have all our plans and all our dreams, and we wanted him to break the yoke of the Roman government, and we thought the kingdom was coming, and I'm bewildered. I don't understand. Jesus is dead. I don't believe it. And I'm not going to believe. Jesus wasn't. Oh, glory to God. He was not going back to heaven and leave Thomas bewildered. Does Jesus care if you're bewildered? Yeah, boy, yeah, boy, yeah, boy, yeah, boy. Is Jesus mad at you because you doubted? Is Jesus mad at you because you've been a little faithless? No, he ain't mad. He loves you. Yes. He cares about you. Yes. Excuse me just a minute. I had to just do that one time. Glory to God. What do you think he stayed around? He wanted Thomas to know that when he don't have no faith, he still cares about us. So 8 days later, on Sunday night, 8 days later, came Jesus again. Yeah. You know what I love, Dr. Simpson, about them two appearances of Jesus? He didn't knock on the door nor ring the bell. He just stepped in. I call that the uninvited presence of God. The uninvited presence of God. Sometimes he comes just because he wants to.
Yes, sir.
Am I among friends?
Yes.
God's sovereign and he'll do anything he wants to do.
Yes.
Somebody said, well, I've been a praying and God's blessed me because I prayed. Yep, but sometimes when you ain't prayed, he still blessed.
Yes, sir.
And boy, don't you just live here, one of them old Baptists give this. Because I've been faithful to God, he's been good. Be quiet. Hush right now before you go to cussing. God's not been good to you because you've been good. God's been good to you because he's good. It's not my goodness. It's not my faithfulness. It's just God. They were not praying in that upper room. They were not reading the scriptures in that upper room. They were not having vespers in that upper room. They were crying and they were doubting. But just because he's God and just because he wanted to, he walked in and said, it is I. Peace be unto you. Be not afraid.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Walked in that room. Thomas. Thomas. I heard what you said. Come here. Come here. See that? Now here's where he had to eat crow.
Yeah.
Thomas said, I'll not believe it till I thrust my hand in his side. He never got that close.
Right.
Jesus said, go ahead, boy. He never got close enough to touch him. He just saw him.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, my Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my God,
yes.
Son, hallelujah. I know we got to go home, but not right now. And I've got this big old dose of preaching stuff that's pouring out the gable into my soul. And I got to itch and I got to scratch it. Son, don't you like it? Don't you really like it? Don't you love it, love it, love it, love it? When you're bewildered, I about had all you can stand, and you're about ready to chunk in, buddy. An unexpected, unexplainable, uninvited God just steps up and says, how you doing? I'm still God. And you're my man. And you're my child. You said, preacher, am I among friends? Can I really belch out what's in my heart?
Yeah.
Preacher, has God ever done that for you? Yeah, boy. Boy, there's been some times when God drew near. Woo! And just stepped up on the scene and put his hand on my soul and said, son, I still care. I love you. I remember you when you don't remember me. I've been pastoring that little church there in Atlanta 25 years. Man, that's a long time. I preached everything I knew and some things I wasn't even sure of. But when you got a church nobody else wants, and when you got a preacher nobody else will have, you can get stuck like that. And I love them sheep. Bob, you've been there. Them sheep love me too. They love my wife and they love my kids. Lord of God. And I've tried to be there for them people when they needed me. Kids get killed in wrecks, die with AIDS, get burned up in fires. Oh, God, I've tried to be there when they need me. But when my sister, and I still got the text on my phone when she texted me that Friday after Thanksgiving, said, Daddy's back in the hospital. It's not good. That was the longest trip I've ever made. And I've been back there with my members. Bob and I went back there and saw my daddy on that bed. He was in another world. He didn't even know me. Boy, that hurt real bad. I got to looking around for my pastor. Come to find out, I was my pastor. Then I really felt sorry for my members. I'm just going to tell you something. What I preach to others and what I've tried to tell others, it's true. It's real. It works. Picked up my little daddy's head and laid it in my crevice of my elbow so he could get them last little breaths. I was on one side of his bed quoting Psalm 23. My sister was on the other side of the bed singing one of my daddy's favorite songs, What a Day That'll Be. And my mama, Brother Bob's, you know, Mom, she's at the foot of the bed, caught between worlds. She'd go, oh, J.B., don't leave me, honey. We've been married almost 60 years. Oh, honey, what am I going to do without you? And then the grace of God would kick in, and she'd go to shout, go ahead, honey. Take your flight, baby. Jesus has got his... Son of my daddy took it. That's awfully sad I've heard in my life. It felt like you'd knocked the wind out of me. Son, my knees got weak. I thought I was going to hit the floor. I want to tell you, bless God, that was a hand. Help man from the glory world that reached and got a hold of me. And the sweetest peace of God flooded that room and flooded my soul. I felt as much God in my daddy's home-going room as I do most Baptist churches I try to preach at. That was a doctor in there, and he's just standing there crying. I mean, his nerves was tore up. He went, my soul, you people are remarkable. I said, oh no, Doc, we're not remarkable. This is the remarkable grace of God, that God draws near. He comes by and reminds you, I'm still your God. You're still my child. I still love you. When you don't remember me, I still remember you. Whoa! Man, I gotta hurry. I'm trying to hurry. That missionary this morning is going to Arizona.
Yes.
I like you. You got some spunk. You can preach too, son. God bless you. They sang a song this morning. He's still setting my place at the table. One of my best friends, Lance Carpenter, wrote that song about 4 or 5 years ago. I was at Lance's house a couple of years back, and he said, Joe, I've just got an email. Said a friend of mine, his wife's a nurse, and said that was an elderly gentleman in there one day getting his thumb sewed up, and he was real antsy. She said, sir, are you in a hurry? He said, yes, ma'am, I am. I'm in a big hurry. He said, I'll go eat lunch every day with my wife. She's at the nursing home, and I go every day and eat lunch with my wife. That little nurse said, boy, I bet that excites her. He said, no, it really don't, because she hadn't known me in several years. She said, well, what's it so important to you? He said, because she may not remember me, but I remember her. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Brother Lance said, about that time, the Holy Ghost just slipped up real close and said, Lance, should the day come when you can't remember me? Amen. Yeah. Amen. He said, I'll remember you. Yes. Brother Lance had just written another great song. Should the day come when I can't remember him, he will remember me. I'm glad, brother, standing somewhere behind the closed door is the resurrected Christ saying, look, it's me. It's okay. I'm still your Savior. You're still my child. I'm done. Thomas, my Lord and my God. Can I scratch one more little itch and then I'll preach all the way to my seat and I'll sit down? I don't think nobody's in a hurry but me. But to show you I'm serious, I'm going to close my Bible. And then Jesus, oh boy, well, I feel God in here. And Brother Bob, I love you, buddy. I love you like my daddy. Then Jesus makes one of the most emphatic statements in all the King James Bible. He said, Thomas, you believe now? That's good. That's good. I'm glad you finally got it right. But I'm going to tell you something. You believe because you've seen.
Yes.
Then Jesus picks that big old telescope of grace up and scans her down through the ages and said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believed. But blessed! That in the Hebrew means elated, happy, flabbergasted, tickle pink. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Blessed are they that have not seen. Yet. Boy, I'm glad he's the God of the yets. Lord have mercy. I feel like preaching. Lord have mercy. Yet. They believe. You know what he did? He looked down through the time span and saw us here in 2010. We've never seen him face to face, but we love him and we serve him and we believe him and we trust him. But one day we will. We will. We will. We will. See it. Oh Lord. But until then. Woo! But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls us. Being seen of them. Peter was backslidden. Mary was broken. Thomas was bewildered. Oh my. Simon Peter was a failure. Mary was fearful. Thomas was faithless. But Jesus wasn't going back to heaven and leaving them scattered. So for 40 days. Lord, I got to walk around. I'm trying to close. And for 40 days, he just got his little band of sheep together. And son, by the time he left out on that taxi cloud, he'd all had them won. He says, y'all stand here on this mountain. And watch this. Took a cloud, wrapped around himself, double clutched it. New Jerusalem bound. Here that scattered crowd was now one fold. Glory to God. Please don't make me wait 4 years. Now they're one fold. And they're standing here gazing. And them two witnesses. All the way through the Bible. Here they are again, Dr. Simpson. Stood by Jesus, and they looked down and said, hey, why y'all looking so gazed? This same Jesus. This same Jesus is taken from you. So come in likeness. Aren't you glad he is alive? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that dear man of God that preached a while ago on our God, our Savior. So wonderfully lifted him up, magnified him. And Father, thank you for all these songs tonight. Sin debt's paid. Jesus is coming. I met the Master. Seemed like tonight, Lord, the whole service has been directed that we need to get our eyes off of ourselves. Get our eyes on Jesus. And Lord, because you are alive, because you're personal, you give a personal touch. Lord, there's some little sheep. One of God's little sheep running around here tonight, Lord, that's tore up, bruised and mangled. God, reach them arms around from Calvary. Restore and minister to them tonight. God, we just want to thank you that you are everything that you claim to be and a whole lot more. We give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.